finally, welcome to FIFA Talks with Hathi, and we are going to talk about the final of FIFA World Cup 2018. Tonight joining us is Harsh Chaudhary. Hi Harsh.
Hi.
So finally, after 20 years, 1998 and 2018, France are now 2 times world champions.
Yeah, told you so.
It is?
Yeah, I told you. France is going to win this World Cup. Kabhi-kabhi lagta hai ki main bhagwan hu.
Yes, okay. If people are listening right now, Sartal just... I was rooting for France for the entire game and I shouted and cheered so much that my voice is, well, let's just say, it has, like, Croatia has happened to my voice. Yeah. So, yeah, well, let's just get into the match and let's just analyze what happened today. to be very honest, the first three goals were Croatia's, what can we say, were Croatia's mistake. Like, first, their own goal is not their mistake, obviously. But letting France score the first goal and the second where they just like, you know, they were like, let's just do what Maradona did, but in a cool way. When all the cameras, like, even when the cameras are like all like, you know, pointing towards us.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Oh my God. Subasic was horrendous today, to be very honest. Literally horrendous today. Like, I've seen the better parts of Subasic and I've seen how much he can do and what can he do. But, well, today he was Lionel Messi in World Cup Finals.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a good day for both of the keepers, I think so.
And all the LM10s, to be very honest.
Yeah, all the LM10s, yeah. It's just not an initial to beat.
I just hope LM10 doesn't retire this year.
Oh, wait. Just wait. Let that point sink in.
today's match. What are your thoughts? Like, what did you think?
I'm telling you now, I predicted all of these things to that it is going to happen. But yes, Croatia did surprise me. Whatever they did in the first half, they were like, France, you just sit back. We'll do everything. We'll keep the ball. We'll score goals for ourselves and for you also. Mm-hmm. That was actually what they did. Croatia were like,
they were quite literally Brazil. Like, you know, yeah, Brazil like, in 2014.
We'll do everything. Yeah. You know, you don't have to worry. We'll serve you the best food this time. We'll make sure everything goes.
So yeah. Kabhi apun ko lagta hai apun Brazil hai.
Apun Brazil. Croatia. Yeah. I think France was just too much for them. Too much. Yeah. They're like, okay, our appetite is just over. Englishmen were okay, but French is so much for us. They left it at that point only.
Yeah, I mean, it is coming home, the home is well changed. To be very honest, I was supporting French, the Frenchmen, because, well, I know their language, okay? I know their language a bit, to be very honest.
I know a little bit of French also. It was apparently a subject that was thrown at us and we ducked. You know, we didn't learn anything, but yeah, we at least got to learn how to speak, you know, a little bit of it.
So, yeah, I mean, so Croatia are known for their midfield dominance, which was something that was a bit, it wasn't there, to be honest, to be very honest. I mean, they were good in like 69% of possession. And, they had the possession, but not the midfield dominance that they were there in the World Cup for. You could totally see that there were loopholes and they were going very wide. Like, you know, what they did to Argentina, France did to Croatia.
Yes. Indeed. They actually, Croatia was just trying to, that is what exactly happened. Basically, according to me, what Croatia has already, always been doing was trying to create spaces. What they have been doing, and Modric and Rakitic and people, they always try to find spaces, and they have good attacking players. Perisic and Mandzukic have proved themselves to be a very, very prominent duo for the World Cup. They have done everything right at the right time. But there was this thing that France's defense, which hasn't, everyone will be praising the way France has worked on their counters, worked on their attack. But the highlight of this tournament has been France's defense. They have proved to be they have used the vintage way of defending, that no nonsense will be acceptable. As soon as they get the ball, they just clear it out. They have very good players in the mid to contain the ball. They have very good players to shoot it in the front. And no, Mbappe, obviously, he'll run and he'll get the ball anytime.
Boy, that boy can run. You're talking about defense. I mean, there was a thing where Pogba actually stopped the Croatian attacker using his body and shielding the ball as the ball rolled over the line. And that was amazing to look at. It was 5 seconds of pure good defense. And you could see that, yes, France is putting each and everything inside this particular game.
Yeah, yeah.
They learned from their mistakes, to be very honest.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So basically, in the first half, France looked a bit dull. Croatians were almost everywhere on the pitch. They did everything. In the second half, France got a little bit of momentum. They found their way. They and after the two goals, they were like, yes, we have crossed the line. Yes, we have won the match. And actually, that was a very good sign what Lloris did. I think that was just a wake up call to those guys. Ki the World Cup is not done yet, man.
Oh please. Yeah. Okay. What the hell was that?
What
was that?
He is the captain of the bloody team, and he does things like that. He should have. I'll tell you what happened. I was sitting in a room where 7 supporters of Croatia were there and 2 supporters of France. Imagine the sheer amount of wild screams that came after that goal? It just blew me, like, okay, fine. We are 2 people sitting over here and we don't want our ears to bleed after this match. They were screaming like anything. And Croatia, the way they have played, they deserve this kind of a support. They deserve this. They have beaten big teams, so-called big teams, and they have come to this stage. And yes, they deserve this kind of a support, but they didn't deserve to lose like this. Yes, their defense.
To be very, very honest, that particular goal, right? Because we are right now talking about that particular goal. It was, I don't know. I think after, like, getting that particular momentum, they were a bit overconfident.
Overconfident, yes, yes.
Lloris was overconfident. Yeah. And that is the same thing that happened with me, your particular experience, right? 2 and 7, right?
Yeah.
Particular experience just amplified. Like, there were only 5 supporters of France, and there were 27 Croatian supporters.
Of course.
And we were sitting in a pub.
Yeah.
And we were cheering because, 3-1.
3-1, yeah. Yes.
We were happy. We were like, we are winning. We are winning.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. What the hell have you done to us?
Whoa.
Talking about the World Cup here, not the Premier League.
There's
a difference.
Nah, he's a good boy.
Yeah, that guy is an amazing World Cup keeper. The World Cup Bihea is, let's just say, he wouldn't have survived the school game.
And if out of the 7 supporters of France that you were with, if any one of them would have been a Liverpool supporter, he would have just died of a heart attack. Because history would have repeated something. I don't want this to happen to me again. Life must be so difficult for him. So difficult for those particular moments. Yeah, he'll be like, because, why me?
I mean, he is coming back, to be very honest. Like, no matter what.
Yeah. But still, oh my God. France was overconfident. Towards the end, France was overconfident. They thought that everything is done and dusted. And then, yes, the most shittiest moment that ever, you know, came across to Lloris, apart from being a Tottenham player. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
So apart from that. This happened, you know, and then, yes, they deserved everything. The way they have played, they wanted to kill off the game, simply. They wanted to attack and attack, and they want to break the hearts of Croatian fans. They did, but Croatia fought till the end. Croatia literally went, you know, they shot everything that they had to them. But that, there was just not enough time.
No. I concur on this particular point. And okay. I actually say that Croatia did not give their entire potential. Because if they would have, it wouldn't be 4-2. It would at least be 4-3. It would at least be 4-4 and would have gone to the penalties.
Okay.
Then Luka Modric would have, shined like as he has done before.
Okay.
Because, I mean, to be very honest, Croatia is a team that we have seen. Like, we have seen how they play. And how they were able to, like, you know, decimate the Argentinian defense and attack and every, like, the entire Argentinian team, to be very honest. Okay. And they were able to keep one of the greatest players of all time at bay.
Allegedly.
They were able to keep Messi at bay.
Okay.
But I think Croatia has, only met teams that were dependent on one or two players.
Exactly.
France, on the other hand, is a well-oiled machine for the entire World Cup tournament. They have been playing like a well-oiled machine.
Hmm.
Not saying that they did not have faults.
Yeah,
but they learned from whatever they did.
And see, what I agree that if you have that sort of an opinion, that's still fine. But what I think is, Croatia had a particular batch of teams which was not the best, apparently. They played against the more, you know, the ones who, they were on the weaker side of the section, Croatia. They didn't win against the big teams. After winning three matches, you can assume, that is the group stage, after winning three matches, you can assume that a team has that sort of a momentum. Yes, they have won the table, they have topped the group. Won the match, and they have topped the group, and now yes, they are definitively a very big. They had the probability. Yeah, they were the big contenders. They are the big contenders of winning a trophy. That's why they topped the table. They have the momentum and everything. Apart from that, if you are second in the group, you didn't perform well. Let's say that's a general perspective, and they all put these guys together. On one side, you know, and they all played together. They were the big guns that they played that they made them play together. And making a finale in which a team has reached the finals by not playing appropriate rivals, that is not the kind of football tournament should be, according to me. Why? Because if a team has won everything, it has reached to the finals, again, there are hopes, there are everything, but there is a slight bit of doubt in their minds that we have got the weaker side of the section and we have won the weaker table. Do we really deserve to be in the finale? Weren't there other teams which were playing on the other side? Let's say France, let's say any XYZ team, Belgium, for example. It played against France. It was on the other side of the table. Should it have been on this side of the table? Don't you think that they deserve to be in the finale rather than playing for the second and the third place? Third and the fourth place?
I think we had this conversation before. Like,
yes.
You actually said this that France versus Belgium.
Yeah.
Would be the pseudo final for Europe.
Yeah.
You know, like that, yeah. And that actually makes sense, because the thing is, the way France played against Belgium and the way Belgium held them.
Yeah.
You know, that is what we want in the
that
World
is,
Cup.
Yes, you know? And that is what we expect from, you know, from the, at that stage. Of course, Croatia had big dreams. Great. They have the golden generation, everything, the falala, everything that goes behind them. Good. But yes, you have played the weaker teams. That's just one bit of a, you know, a stinge that luck is going to be there. Yeah, luck on you. Yes. This is something which makes me think that Croatia performed as they were expected. They did whatever they could, because this, they haven't faced a real opponent. That is what I want to say. Let's take,
okay,
that's why.
Yeah, no, actually, that makes sense. But the thing is, I mean, they had an easier side of the table.
Hmm.
To be very honest, it is, and this is something that we actually knew. Like each and every one of you, us knew that Croatia has had easier side of the table. Because the thing is, Belgium had to defeat Brazil.
Yeah.
And France had to defeat Uruguay. Like, with these are the two teams that you actually, you know, these are the two giants in the footballing world. Proper giants. And well, Belgium had to defeat England. Okay, even though we make fun of England and their team, but they did have a particularly good chance at this particular point.
Yeah,
because they had good team. To be very honest, good team. They had goal scorers.
Yeah.
And they had good midfield and the defense, and even Jordan Pickford was doing good. Like,
good, yes.
To be very
yes.
honest, to be very honest, his name wasn't something that we all remember, because we only remember, let's say, Hugo Lloris or David De Gea or maybe Neuer, Victor Casillas. These are the names that we remember. Subasic at some particular point of time was actually like properly following football.
Of course.
But Jordan Pickford was not a known name.
Yes.
But still, he performed.
He performed. Yes.
Amazing.
He proved himself.
So, he proved himself, yeah.
Mm. So that's what I think, actually. That yes, for me, Croatia did whatever they could, and France was just too much for them.
Yeah, I think France was, well, basically this year's Germany, to be very honest.
Yeah, yeah.
They had an entire team, and okay. Mbappe actually joins the club of being like, you know, the youngest player alongside with Pele, and Pele actually congratulated him that finally having someone on this particular club feels nice.
Yeah.
So I mean that guy is just 19 right now.
Yeah, of course.
I am in my early 20s right now. Okay.
We are in our early 20s right now.
We are in our early 20s right now. And
this is a topic which we discuss every day in our private lives. Let's not
open that door.
Yeah. Or else we'd be kicked out of that too.
Yeah, we'll be like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
But Mbappe, oh my God.
Mbappe, no. He's the Sharma Ji ka launda.
He's the Sharma Ji ka launda.
The Indian, like Mbappe is quite literally the Indian counterpart of Sharma in France.
Imagine Messi sitting over there watching the World Cup. Imagine Ronaldo sitting over there watching the World Cup. They'd be like, oh.
And and their parents, like Messi's parents. Be like, are you seeing what I am seeing?
Yeah. He's okay, just 19.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, controversial topic.
Okay.
Golden ball.
Golden ball? Yeah, I know. They were like, see, this was a consolation prize that the judges give, you know, to the teams, you know, that they don't perform well, but they are at that position. So it's just like a consolation prize. So I thought the golden ball was given to Modric as a consolation prize. Other players did perform well. Yeah. Other players, and I think that
there are other players that I can actually name that performed well in the World Cup, including not just saying goal scoring and all that stuff.
No.
Well they actually performed well in teams. Like, you know, let's talk about Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
He knew that the coach was not good enough for his team, and the entire motivational stuff that actually coach are supposed to do. He knew that the coach was not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he stepped up to that particular challenge.
Yeah.
And he took his team, the Belgium, the Belgium, he took them to the, like, nearly to the semi-final. Like, he got them to the semi-final, even though he lost it.
Yeah.
But their entire run was...
Yeah. And having a golden generation doesn't get you to the finals. Let's be honest with that. It doesn't just get you over there. We have seen it. It might even get you to a 7-1 lose. But yeah. Things might happen.
Because Luka Modric, okay, I'm not saying that he did not play well and everything. He was amazing. Okay, he was really amazing. But at least there were other players who deserved better.
Yeah, deserved
better. They were quite literally.
I know. Because...
I'm not even considering the top 16 teams right now. All I'm thinking about is the top 4 teams. Like the ones that were in the semi-final right now.
Okay.
And even England has players who could have won that. Subasic is better than Luka Modric, to be very honest.
Okay. Maybe.
Because he did save a lot of goals in consecutive penalty shootouts.
Yeah. Yes.
So that is something, okay, that particular pressure on your mind, that takes a toll, a proper toll.
You know, Luka Modric is an important team. Is an important player of any team. He would have been an important player of any goddamn team he plays in. I am a Real Madrid fan. I have seen him play since the last 4 seasons. I have seen what sort of magic he creates and what are the things he's capable of. But in this tournament, after watching so many matches, after watching so many teams play, after looking at the stats and everything, Luka Modric wasn't the... I personally think that he didn't anything that much exceptional that he should have won the trophy. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, you know, I mean, last year also it was a bit controversial.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this year I think they are, like, doing the same thing. Like,
I don't know. The LMs are always... It's a curse of being an LM.
I am not going to say anything.
You're not going to say
anything. I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, fine. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever you're saying are your own.
Our own are my opinions.
Yeah. Hearty Talk does not endorse any opinions given by your fellow podcaster.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
This was just a subtle way of, you know, keeping myself legally away from
you. Yeah, I know. I get it.
So, yeah, okay. let's talk about Pogba.
Pogba. Oh. Pogba was just... He is that guy in the team who makes everyone laugh, keeps everything cheerful. Yeah. And apparently France has many players like that, but yes, on the pitch also, he controlled a lot of the... Lots and lots of the game. Yeah.
I mean, he was quite literally, like, you could see him, he was running around the entire field. Down the field, defending, attacking, scoring an amazing Pogba boom goal.
Yeah, taking it from right to left and then shooting it. Wonderful.
Oh, boy.
You had to say that. Yeah, you know, the curl and everything. But that's, I was a little bit disappointed with the keeper also. He just,
He was quite literally stunned. He was like, okay, the ball did not come because there is a defense that is in front of me.
Three people defense, which they all turned in a very synchronous way, and then left a wonderful space for Pogba to score. It was a very wonderful goal, by the way. Just the way that, and it wasn't just his goal. Of course, his finishing was awesome. But the way it was created, you know?
Yeah, oh, beautiful.
And that, see, that is where Giroud also comes into the picture. If you have a person with his strength who can keep the ball in the box or just at least pass it in a good direction, you don't score the goals, but you at least help them make a good play inside the box, intimidate the other players, that's good enough for any team. If you, of course, they need someone to, you know, get hold of the ball and shoot in at the back of the net, but still, he did, you know, he was the silent in the attack. If someone wants to say that Giroud didn't, you know, contribute much, no, he had a great contribution to in the team.
I mean, if you look at France's run, right, I mean, from the first game till the end game, right, you can actually see that each and every player is starting to contribute after every match. Like, you know, if let us assume that three players were playing in the first match, then five players were playing in the next match, then seven players, and you can see the entire team. You can actually see Kante was playing, N'Golo Kante, amazing player today.
Yeah, of course. And he was the key.
N'Golo Kante was amazing tonight.
Yeah, he was the key to holding. That is why Croatian midfield didn't shine. They had the ball for days, didn't they? Had the ball. They couldn't contain the ball for a longer time. You know, they just had someone, they were like, okay, this is ball with me for a second. Oh my God, where did it go? And Kante will be, you know, looking at, you know, you have seen him, no? He's always smiling. You would be like, ee!
just flipping them burgers, like,
you're like, yo, Croatian man, here's something for you. Oh my God, I'm taking the ball. And you're like, yay! A smile for you, a smile for you, a smile for you, the World Cup for me.
First I steal your ball, then I steal your cup, then I go home.
Then I go home, and I actually take it home. So, yes, the Conte was smiling at every time. You know, that is what it actually means to play in a team. Everyone was so much, they were together. The entire team was together. They were very happy. And Pogba and Kante and other people were just amazing to see the chemistry between each and every player. This is what requires to play football. And not just greatness and praises and everything behind one player. No, that doesn't mean that you can win everything.
Still an 11-player game.
Still
an 11-player game.
Not one-man show. And this time's final. Okay. Achha, do you think that the way that this World Cup has turned out, the finale was set in that manner that you get more goals? Do you think like that? Because since the past 3 years, we haven't, 3 World Cups, we haven't seen many goals in the finale. So we haven't seen many goals, but this year we got 6 goals. Maybe is this the reason behind the one part of the entire thing, you have very strong teams and at the other end you don't have that many teams. So just to make sure that a weaker team goes up and you get more goals, is that a thing? I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I think this particular sorting went out in Moscow. And it is pretty much like the elections, how the elections went, you know, go down in Moscow, to be very honest.
Okay.
So like, to be very honest, it was biased. Okay, it was very biased. And you can actually see, the groups and all the players. To be very honest, if you just see the game, like, you know, you get to know that there was a lot of things that could have made this, you know, could have spiced it up a bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, taking just Brazil and Uruguay on that side. Would have changed the entire schematic, I think. But well, what's done is done. We cannot change anything. But the thing is, there were 6 goals. But to be very honest, I thought that there could have been more than 6 goals.
I know. There could have been more.
You can actually see that. Let's talk about the first goal, the own goal.
It was a set piece. It was expected.
In short. It was unexpected, but because I was supporting France and the person in front of me was like, he was supporting Croatia and he was like, this won't go. I was like, this would. okay, shut your mouth, okay, please. It would go. And it went, and I was shocked for like a second, but I didn't show him that I was shocked.
I was trying to be cool and calm, and I was like, kabhi kabhi meko lagta hai, main bhagwan hoon. I know that feeling.
No, I quite literally did the Bape's celebration. Like, you know, I just put my hand and I was like, they were.
Yeah. And you were saying, and sir.
Yeah, but after the third goal, I was full into Wakanda. I was like, yeah, man, tell me. Okay, to be very honest, okay, this might not be a good podcast to talk about this particular stuff, but I think because Hathi Talks would soon be talking about a lot of politics and everything, this is a good place to start. Do you think without the immigrants, France would have won this particular World Cup?
Oh, this is just a topic which is okay.
Without the immigrants, any team would have been
playing that the way.
Because Belgium,
millions.
Croatia, immigrants.
Maybe not. I don't think so. Croatia. Croatia has no. Croatia had not that sort of demographics in their team. Croatia didn't have.
Yeah. Okay. My bad. Switzerland.
Switzerland. Yeah. And then England.
England. Yeah. Obviously.
England.
I don't think first generation immigrants, but second generation. Yeah.
Second generation immigrants and not even proper from the UK as such. The Welsh players and other teams from the Republic of Ireland.
To be very honest, Welsh is considered in till Brexit happened, true, but Welsh I think is still considered under.
And that's what, you know, they do have their own football team. Of course, Bale plays in it and everything is there. Still people, players tend to, get inside the English squad rather than playing for their own, nation.
This is in Top Gear. What happens is that whenever you do something bad, you are from Scotland or you are from Wales. Okay.
Yeah.
If you do something nice, you are under the England rule.
Yeah.
And you're
the queen,
English.
You're English.
Yeah, the queen recognizes you. Then.
Yeah, the queen recognizes you. Yes, that's my lad. Yeah. So without immigrants, no team would have performed that like that. Yes, it's very difficult to find talent as such because what happens is usually they spot these players. When in the youth system, what they do is let's take an example of Costa from Spain. The people knew that he is going to be something. They knew it that yes, he's a good player. He'll play good. So what he did, he basically moved on to Spain. He is from Brazil, so he moved on to Spain. He thought that he had a better chance over there, participating in the World Cup and getting inside the squad. Rather than sitting in the and waiting for his turn in Brazil's his own country's team, so immigrants on the bench and immigrants actually people players they understand this thing that yes let's say Fellaini he would have never expected to participate.
Sure, Fellaini is an immigrant.
He's from Morocco.
Okay.
So he would have never thought that he and the person Chadli, I don't know, CH, who was that guy?
Nadeem Chadli.
Chadlin. So they both are from Morocco. I saw the entire team's list that where are they from. So yes, they would have never thought in their wildest dreams to perform with Morocco and participate in a World Cup, win the qualifiers, participate in a World Cup. And go in and play semifinals. Because you as a player, you always want to win things. That's why you enter the field. Everything comes afterwards. Yes, loyalty and respect and everything is there. And they are a different kind of people. Yes, they are considered as legends. But most of, there is just, you need that sort of forte. You need something to make sure that yes, if I am playing football, I want to be a part of one of the better teams in the world. So yes, immigrants are there, and yes, it was without immigrants, no team would have performed the way they had.
Yeah.
You know, and growing up, let's take a very basic example. When you were growing up, and it's an hypothetical example. Let's say when you were growing up, and you were considered to be a brilliant child in your local school. Wouldn't you want to join go into a better school? You know,
obviously,
compete with better players. That's what any good footballer would do. Any practical person would do, in fact. That yes, why shouldn't I go where actually my talent is appreciated, nurtured, and I get more attention to myself, the way I play. And yes, that will obviously help him to become a part of the, you know, the big league. So, yes, without immigrants, it would have been definitely difficult to find those things.
Okay, while we were on immigrants, okay?
Okay.
Do you think it is, like, this is the sole reason why United States of America has not, been in the top 32?
Okay. In the football? As in?
In football. In football. I mean, I won't be talking about, American football.
Right? No. I was
or just, all the, as they call us, soccer.
Yeah.
Like, now.
Of course.
And they are going to be like, you know, hosting the 2026 World Cup.
Hmm. Yes.
Along with obviously Mexico and Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But well, oh my god, they have 8 years to starting from now, obviously.
Yeah.
They have 8 years to correct themselves.
If this comes into the picture, I don't think so that they have the proper leadership to understand or corroborate the necessities that these.
Okay, just to make it clear, and for the people who did not understand, maybe, are we talking about the political leadership that particular country has, or are we talking about the leadership in their football or soccer teams?
No, the one which is known more.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair, good. Like, okay, nice, okay, like, nice, good, loophole answer, nice.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so he has the ability to understand these things, and apparently the way he has been behaving, it's proper way, no, it's just a very, I cannot even find a word for that sort of a mentality. We're not even...
He's amazing. Okay, let's leave it at that.
Yeah, he's amazing, but
because people know, you don't have to tell them. Okay, there have been many names that this World Cup has been given. The World Cup of underdogs, the World Cup of midfield dominance, the World Cup of new teams and new opportunities and new experiences, obviously.
Mm.
What would be your one this World Cup of thing?
Okay.
What would you call it? Would it be World Cup of immigrants? I don't know. I mean,
no. For me, it would have been a World Cup for total football.
Okay.
Rather than celebrating just the glory of one player, it is that football which began from a team playing like a team. The first match, Russia.
Versus Saudi Arabia. Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Yes. And playing as a team, playing total football, each and every player involved, equal contribution to the team, to the finals.
Yeah.
The entire World Cup was a big, big lesson. Big lesson to teams that who think, to players who think that, yes, we alone can do everything. And those who don't trust their coaches, they don't think that, yes, anyone is, you know, and to all the national team selectors and everyone, the person who are sitting behind the bench and they are doing everything, sending their squad.
Men behind the curtain.
Yeah, men behind the curtains for everyone to understand that football is not just a game of single player. It's a game for a team. If you go out as a team, if you do the job as a team, there are more chances that, yes, you will perform well. Because look at the trends of the past. in the end of the day, you get a final where there is one moment, one person who sparks and the entire credit is given to that person. This is not how football is played. You cannot give the entire credit to one single player. The entire team was a part of the machine. Then the machine worked. Then the machine won everything.
Okay, fair.
Yes.
Fair. I think on my side, I would be still a bit one-sided to be, let's just be, like, emotional maybe.
Okay.
I would say this was a World Cup of goalkeepers.
This was a World Cup of goalkeepers?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And because let's just see. Iran's keeper stopped Ronaldo's penalty.
Yeah.
There were several penalty shootouts in the entire World Cup, and goalkeepers were the main person, the deciders. Because a player might miss, like something that Spain, something that happened to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a player might miss, but the goalkeeper has to be there for five times and has to be under that pressure five times. And you could, okay. There were keepers that we didn't know about. Okay, I'm not saying that I didn't know about Subhase, but there were many people that actually didn't know about Subhase or Pickford or even Courtois to some extent because Courtois is not, like, he is a good keeper, like Chelsea's keeper, amazing. But he wasn't known much.
Okay.
I'm talking about in a larger picture, like we all know who Courtois is, but there were certain people who actually did
but not when we considered when we considered the top shelf goalkeepers, you would have been at the bottom of it rather
exactly.
than
I mean like yeah exactly because there is David De Gea, there is Buffon, and then we have Neuer
yeah. Come on, you have to say
arrogance, the arrogance of all the keepers and the downfall of the keepers that we thought were gods.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we thought Neuer and De Gea were the two keepers that can never be defeated. They are the walls.
Yeah, they are the walls.
That are unpenetrable.
Unpenetrable.
Walls. But well, they were the first one to fall down, to be very honest. And like quite literally German wall crumbled against Japan in the last dying minutes.
Yeah.
So I mean, that is some. It was a keeper of goalkeepers. Be it good, be it bad, be it worse.
Yeah.
Be it arrogant, be it kind, be it gentle, be it acting like a spider when you are playing against when let's just say Brazil, okay, Belgium versus Brazil, like quite literally. Be it acting like a freaking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
When Neymar hits you. Okay. Or just standing there when Ronaldo hits three by your side and one goal just like slipping by your hands. So those were the key moments. Like I'm not saying that other players did not play as much, but the focus on in this particular World Cup was more on the keeper is what I think.
Okay.
Even today, Subhase and Lloris were the main attraction. Like even Pogba, yes, Mbappe, yes, Giroud, yes, Luka Modric, Rakitic, Perisic, okay, everyone was amazing, everyone was nice, okay. But we still saw six goals.
Yeah.
We still saw an own goal.
Yeah, we still saw
a goal where the keeper just stood by, didn't even flinch or moved. So, Subhase was considered to be, in this particular two keepers that we had, Subhase was considered to be better than Hugo Lloris.
Because he
proved to be better than Hugo Lloris. So we actually, the one reason why people were actually supporting Croatia was because they knew that behind that defense was a wall that would stop.
That would stop, yeah.
And all they had to do was draw and go to penalties because Subhase would have saved them. So yeah, according to me, it was a
fair enough. But I like the way that they both the dignitaries from the representatives of both the countries, behaved. It was a very wonderful thing, actually. The way they both behaved, that was a nice thing. there is this the sheer amount of passion. Oh, I am not actually. By the way, the best sort of representation was done by Vladimir Putin. You don't have to say, you, there is no doubt he was the best. And we didn't even watch him just because we knew that he is going to be the best. His expressions and everything will be just amazing. But apart from that, the other two, they were amazing. That is what, you know, is expected when you represent your country. You know, that is what passion means and that is what football means.
So what did you think about the penalty? I mean, penalty, okay, to be very honest, this is what I felt or this is what I think I saw. He slowed down for just like that millisecond so that, you know, he could see where this, where the keeper is diving. And then he shot the goal. But, you know, it's not against the FIFA regulations.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a smart move is what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that they, maybe that is what they have been prepared for. As in, the coach must have thought that we might end up going into the extra time and, the game might go into penalties. So maybe, yes, they did. They must have actually studied how, you know, the keeper works.
Subhasic works.
So maybe that was a part of the game plan. Maybe Griezmann is smart enough to do these things. That, I don't know what happened behind the curtains, but yes, that was definitely a smart move to see where the keeper was going and then shooting it the right way. And he doesn't actually, he doesn't have, you know, that sort of a, he has been criticized many a times for taking, you know, there was one moment when he was in the UCL finals playing against Real Madrid and he missed the penalty and Real Madrid won the Champions League. This is what happened way back in the past. So yes, there are these thoughts always that this thing comes into the picture that yes, he is not a good penalty taker. But this hasn't been the fact as far as this World Cup has been concerned. Again, he has missed many a times in front of Keylor Navas, in front of other goalkeepers in La Liga. But no, not in this World Cup. He has been a calm, collected person. And yes, he scored it. Obviously, he put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to talk about how Pogba missed the chance and could have been a 5-2?
This could have been a 5-2. I don't think so because Pogba didn't miss.
Okay. Pogba actually missed. Like he actually was going to shoot, but he was rushing or he was dragging.
He was a little bit confused actually. Maybe.
I just wish people get this reference. Really.
You really wish that? Yeah. I know. It would have been wonderful. So yeah, considering that maybe he was confused, and it's fine to miss when you are four and when you are a couple of goals ahead.
When you're up by two.
When you're up by two, and you have the time on your time with you, then it's fine. It's okay. These are misses which can happen. If you have scored at the right time, yes, then these things are acceptable. But missing, you know, but this is fine from a striker. But if you're a goalkeeper, this is something you cannot just take the risk. Understand?
Yeah, you just don't want to end up like Neuer, having amazing keeper on the bench like Kevin Trapp and Ter Stegen. But still. Making the same mistakes again and again, even though I have been shouting and screaming that please bench him.
Please bench him, yeah.
That's right.
So I, there was this thing, no? But yeah, being ruthless is also a part of the coaching practice. No.
Okay.
Being ruthless is also the part of being a good coaching practice.
Yeah.
If you take an example of the French team, keeping one of the good strikers home. Benzema is a good striker. Giroud, comparing him to Giroud, yes, he is of course a good striker. Though he even hasn't been performing so much in the Spanish league. But he is considered a better striker than Giroud. if you, being ruthless, yes, this is the point where you should be ruthless because stakes are very high. That is what the Germans, I guess, that is what the Germans missed out on. They had too much trust, which sunk them. What do you think?
Seriously, they should have had a wake up call when they lost against Austria.
In friendlies.
Like that should have been a wake up call, but well, apparently not.
Not. I guess the pride swallowed them.
Pride and ego swallowed them.
I mean, that's why they are where they are right now.
You mean home?
Home is.
I don't know. The entire one particular English generation has to wait around 4 more years to see. Maybe it comes home. And England, I'm not saying their team was not good or anything, but the thing is, their side of the pot. Easy. Was really easy.
Why do these things happen?
And I really don't think that they'll be getting the same luck again and again. Like, maybe luck doesn't shine twice.
No, of course. Even.
And they already have a lady luck, sitting. In the right place.
With the right jewels.
With the right jewels and the right name.
With the right name, yeah. So there is that. For me, the World Cup wasn't much of a. Being the supporter of a team that actually goes on to win the World Cup, you, after the entire World Cup is over, you will be like, yeah, I expected this to happen, and yes, so basically we won, and day comes to the end. Yeah, this is what happens actually. For me, the final was as it was just very boring. For me, if I see it afterwards, as in if I imagine, I thought that they will trash the team. Yes, of course, the scoreline says so. And if I see the highlights, if the mistake of Lloris is ignored, then yes, French actually devoured the Croatian dreams. So they did it that.
You actually remember the 7-1.
Yeah.
You remember. If you want to talk about classics, right? If you want to actually talk about the game that you remember and the game that you would actually watch it again and again.
I would just say
one game.
That
would be UEFA Championships, Atletico Madrid versus Real Madrid.
Like,
that is the game.
Yes.
You actually watch it again.
Again and again.
Because that was a battle between two equals.
And it ended up, I broke my chair and then it was a battle between me and my parents.
You are out of the will now. You just broke a chair, but you are out of the will. You have anger issues. Yeah. It's not anger, it's happiness.
Happiness, why you cannot see it? These are real tears. These are real tears. And I broke my chair. I'll tell you what happened. It was, around 1:30, 2 o'clock. I don't exactly remember. I remember when he scored the goal, when Ramos jumped. I remember the exact time till the second.
92:48. Yeah.
And I don't remember what time it was in the clock. I jumped and I screamed and my dad came out. He was like, what happened? He was like,
Ramos scored.
Okay. First of all, Ramos, who the hell is this guy? Second, teko kya mila isse?
This entire World Cup has been, to be very honest, it has been a bit of a disappointment.
See, I am telling you, this is what happens when you, and everyone is like, yeah, this was the thing for the underdogs, and this is, what is the end result of this thing? Man, you get a very good team versus a very okay team. If you, It will just be unbiased.
Not okay, viewers, he's not, sorry, listeners, he's not saying that Croatia is an okay
team.
He's just saying that there could have been a better team on the other side.
On the other side.
If the pot was equally distributed.
Exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, I would have been beaten up on the streets. Maybe the country ki wajah se bhi main pit gaya. Country to tour ki baat hai.
Oh boy. Okay, so basically now we know what's going to happen after 4 years. The Frenchmen are going to be out by the group stages. So yeah, but there is that.
There is that. I think so that Brazil will come up again into the semifinals or something like that.
I don't think so, because the thing is their entire defense is going to grow old, because like, you know, I don't know. Okay, like they,
see, last time they were up against 7-1. No, they were defeated 7-1, and the entire squad was changed. Look at the keeper was changed. The only a couple of, you know, Marcelo and these 3-4 guys remained. Yeah, these 3-4 guys remained. Neymar wasn't even playing. Yeah, man, he broke his spine by that time. But that time he was really injured. Please understand,
yeah,
folks.
He was really injured.
Yeah,
to be very honest, like,
he was
not in that squad.
Of course, yeah. Otherwise, they're like, someone would have torn his shirt. That is the worst thing that could have happened to Neymar. Jiski wajah se World Cup chhod ke jaye. Mera t-shirt paad diya, main to ja raha hu.
Main nahi khela.
That's the worst reason that these people, you know, the ones who haven't watched last time's World Cup, they would have thought the same thing. That this is the reason why, this is the worst reason why Neymar would leave the World Cup. But no, he used to play very good. He used to actually, you know, two things, and he was injured literally very badly, and that's why he had to leave the field. But after that,
you think in Qatar, you really think that in Qatar, Brazil is going to come up?
I think so. I think so that they'll perform better than what they have been performing since the last 8 or say 12 years. Not 12, but yeah, let's say 8 years. So yes. And apparently
do you think the Russians will be able to qualify?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I'm expecting one of the, you know, the Gulf countries to come up and do something spectacular.
No idea which Gulf country.
No idea which Gulf country.
I mean, I don't know. Like, there is just a Real Madrid manager that has, like, supposedly gone to some particular country.
Country, yeah. Just saying.
In a record-breaking
So these things might happen.
I mean, Vin Diesel looks amazing. No, I mean, Vin Diesel actually looks amazing in Qatar.
He is fantastic.
Amazing Vin
Diesel. I was at a particular moment, I was thinking about Thierry Henry. He would have been like, I am going to learn things from Belgium these days, which is the third ranked World Cup team right now. I could have been with my own team. They have actually won the World Cup. You know, Thierry Henry's life would have been difficult for him.
to be very honest, Thierry Henry is just getting into this particular manager, getting into the managerial boots right now. So it would have been the right thing to do. I mean, like getting an underdog, like not saying Belgium is an underdog, but considering the giants that we have in this particular World Cup tournament, Belgium was an underdog in the last World Cup tournament. This year they have been doing pretty spectacularly well. So backing a team and getting them from the ground up is something that it would have been a better experience for him. Getting with a team that is already already built up, like, you know. So I think he was just trying to get some managerial experience under his under his hood right now. And maybe after a while we'll actually see Thierry Henry being a manager of the French national team. And that would have been amazing. And, like, you know, Thierry Henry has been an amazing an amazing communicator and an amazing guy who can talk a lot about football and knows how to play football. And obviously he was an amazing footballer. He's still a legend.
Yeah.
there is a difference between being a manager and being a player.
Yeah.
And that difference is something that he has to learn from ground up. So like,
of course.
Okay, that was nice. That was nice.
Hmm. Super.
So yeah, okay. So what do you think is going to happen in these 4 years?
Okay. I think so that big changes are going to come up because of the presence of VAR, and people have actually seen it working right now. Other leagues are also going to take it up. VAR is going to just prove that things are going to be difficult. Football is going to be difficult from now onwards because and more settled, basically.
No, I think football is not going to be difficult. It's just going to be difficult for people who... How do I put this gently?
You have to do it gently, man.
Okay.
It might hurt.
Who don't play football but are more interested in bowling and being the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And more into, you know, being a meme than being a footballer.
Footballer. You know, from noodles to stones. I mean, the ones who roll. So basically, because of VR, teams are going to evolve, players are going to evolve. This year, apparently, the refereeing was a bit better. No, they kept the players calm. There were not much of rivalries, not much fights and everything. But the bigger change than these things would be that the true, you know, spark in the old classic legend teams would come back. Mm. But it has been like, you know, it has been, they have been on the top of the shelf for too long, and right now they are slowly being kicked out. So it's time right now that they actually pay attention to individual players. They pay attention
they
to
pull up their socks, basically. They pull up their socks, basically.
Yeah, they pull up their socks.
And get back into the game.
Get back into the game. Yeah. So yes, maybe in the next 4 years, we'll see the dominance of expected teams to be back. No?
Yeah. And to be very honest, I mean, this is just the beginning of getting technology back into the entire play.
Hmm.
Because the goal line technology was added in the World Cups before, like this World Cup.
Hmm.
And VAR was added in this particular World Cup. So like, slowly and steadily, technology is starting to play an important and vital role
in this
particular sport. And let's just hope that it just works out for the best. So I think that summarizes our entire World Cup, like in a very compact way, I must say. Mm. And well, thank you, Harsh, for joining us. And this has been an amazing experience. Like, even though the World Cup was a bit of a disappointment, it was good. It was good at a certain point of time, and you can actually see the fans. You can actually see how they cheer, and you can actually see the entire cameraman's work.
Nice.
But yeah, it was an amazing World Cup, and we just hope that the next World Cup is better and up the stakes a bit and get the actual game into the play.
Yeah.
So thank you, Harsh, for joining us, and thank you for being and just giving your dank reviews and just comments on every player and everything. So like, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that is it, I think, from our side. FIFA Talks with Hathi podcast is produced every day for your enjoyment, and the show notes are found at hathitalks.wordpress.com. And I think this is the right time to say this, but we will come back after 4 years, and FIFA Talks with Hathi will be back. If you like the podcast, or just want to talk football, or just have any comments regarding the podcast, follow me on Instagram at hathi.talks, Twitter at hathitalks, and Facebook. Goodbye, and hope to see you again soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.